In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text tonight is Psalm 32, which we prayed earlier in the service. We will also be examining the office of the keys, as we read from the small catechism. And we will continue this throughout this Lent for the sermon, so that we may learn the word as we are students of the word to death. Have you ever hidden from God? That's the question. Psalm 32, written by King David, compares the man who hides from God to the man who hides in God. And this has nothing to do with what is going on with us from the outside. For like Adam and Eve, like King David, like Judas Iscariot, from our reading, we too excel at hiding from God. So I may be able to walk down the street and convince everyone that I can be perfect or a perfect Christian, or I can lead a moral life, and then I can pretend that I has everything together, for we are very good at hiding the thoughts and actions. And you can keep your thoughts of betrayal and adultery for yourself. You can keep your thoughts of coveting and wishing for something that isn't yours or that isn't under your control. You can even turn gossip into sounding like you have much sympathy for the person under attack. So yes, brothers and sisters, we can hide our sins. We can hide them very well. Hiding from God, however, doesn't work too well, for our God sees us in secret, as we heard on Sunday. But notice from the psalmist what happens in verse 3 and 4. We hear again, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." In other words, dear friends in Christ, when we hide from our sin from God, it has consequences. We'll hear about others as Lent will go along, but when we hide our guilt, God knows it. And that consequence that we too know very well is that guilt. The guilt that eats you. The guilt that won't go away. So you may cover it with work or whatever you use. Or maybe even worse, alcohol or whatever distracts you. But guilt will not go away. That is God's law coming to bear on your life. Heavy, and it is uncomfortable, and it is painful. And it's supposed to be. For remember, God's purpose for you and God's purpose for us is to forgive our sins. But to do that, he has to kill us with the law first. But your old Adam, your sinful nature, just doesn't come, it doesn't want to be clean. You don't want God to see your sinful self. So like a child hiding behind his hands, you think that God wants your sinfulness. Yet, doesn't it weigh on you? It weighs on us. It holds you down. And you may be able to put on a happy face for a day or a week or an hour, but the guilt will be always there. And that brings us back to God's purpose in the psalm when it says, Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, in verse 1. So we somehow get this crazy idea in our head that God is pleased with us when we cover up our sins. But it's just the opposite. God is pleased when we confess our sins so that he can do his work of recreating us in his image. So God wants to forgive our sins more than anything in this world. That this is what Jesus Christ lived for, or Jesus, most important, Jesus, this is what Jesus Christ lives for. That is why he died on a cross for you. Christ is dying on a cross, and the angel in heaven rejoice when you repent because of it. The angels in heaven rejoice for you, for your repentance. That then brings us to the question again. How does God forgive my sins? And that's what Lent is all about. That's why we're here, to hear those words from the Catechism again, as we read earlier. What is the office of the keys? The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth, to forgive sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from unrepentant, from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. And then the Catechism tells us where we can find it. This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive any sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." God in his mercy has given the keys, binding and loosing sins to the church. So the church exercises it to forgive sins. So in other words, this is the place where God comes to forgive your sins. And he does it in several ways. He forgives your sins through the preaching, through the hearing of God's word, and heard and pondered, and then through the Lord's Supper, through baptism. And then our catechism speaks of two kinds of absolution. Remember the word absolution. As you went through catechism, simply means forgiveness. Christ is active and effective in us and converts our hearts to true repentance and then preserves us in the true faith. Let us remember these two specific ways of God absolving us and forgive us our sins. One we know very well, we do it on Sundays. The first is called general confession and absolution, and this is what we do at the beginning of service on Sunday. "I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities," and so forth. So Pastor Eli then absolve or forgive our sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But we have to remember that this is not his doing, but it is God's doing. It is Christ speaking through him. It is him speaking in the stead of Christ, and it is Jesus Christ's authority. And then we know, or maybe some of us know, of a second kind of confession that is called individual or private confession and absolution. This is one that comes when you go privately to the pastor and confesses your sins, and you can tell him your specific sin, or you may not, but the pastor's ears will be the tomb of those sins, and the only words that should come of his lips is almost identical to the one he speaks in the service. "I forgive your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So we teach that it is God's will that we believe such forgiveness of sins. When we believe the words of absolution, we are truly reconciled to God as though we heard the voice from heaven. And we are reminded of that kind of voice at the baptism of our Lord. What a great gift the Lord has offered us, his church, to forgive and to receive forgiveness. The Lord wants to forgive you and I for all the things we have done. And we remember that this Lent, repentance doesn't come through us but through him. And repentance and faith is what brings us to reconciliation with our Lord, our Father in heaven. To remember the psalm again when it says that human beings are by nature like horse or a mule, don't know what's good for us. Rather, hear God's word of forgiveness. We by nature hide from God and hide in the wall of our sins, but God seeks you out. He wants nothing more than to forgive and release you from the pain and hurt that your sins bring with them. So as we pray with the psalmist, we hear again, You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. And we add that with Paul, and what Paul writes in Colossians, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So flee, dear brothers and sisters, to God's mercy. For Jesus Christ and his words of absolution and forgiveness is your refuge. Hide in God, not from God, for he will protect you and hold you in the palm of his hand. In the name of Jesus.